Great week with the Lord and everything, and some great things have been happening. Chris, could you put up the first slide? And it's the first we've been meditating on, Jeremiah 29:11, out of the NIV. And it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Amen? Man, that's really good. I'll tell you what, the world, I'll tell you though, doesn't look at that. I was reading some things about of our economy, about the European Union. And they said that on the Eurozone, they said that's the biggest risk to our global economy today. They said the fundamental problems of the Eurozone remain unsolved. And today, our national debt climbs at $4 billion a day. They do not have the answers to all these problems. So, but we have answers, amen? Amen? What we need, though, is secret information in these last days. In Ecclesiastes 8:7, it says this, "Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come?" I know who can tell us, amen? In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." Amen. John Kilpatrick, I was listening to him. He was the pastor of the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida. And he said this. He said, "In the last days, all mysteries will be revealed." And I believe that. I believe we need those mysteries revealed so we can accomplish the things God wants us to accomplish. Now, Chris, could you put up the next slide about Pastor Bill Winston? Here's what Pastor Bill Winston said. He said, "The spiritual realm is where the kingdom of God is based and takes precedence over the physical realm of this world. If you live only in the physical realm, this is a lower level of living. It cannot produce the inheritance we're entitled to." It cannot produce that inheritance if we're always looking at the physical things, always looking at the circumstances, always looking at our checkbook. It will not produce the inheritance that belongs to us. Could I have the next slide, Chris? And as I was studying this week, and I just went into the Old Testament, and I found, I didn't even get a chance to go into the New Testament. I just went into the Old Testament, and I found all of these people were getting secret information about various things. And you have Noah about the ark. You have Isaac. You have just a whole bunch of people, Joseph, Moses. You have David about getting information about how to do battle. And I want to go to Isaac, and if you would produce the next slide, Chris. And we're going to read in Genesis 26. And if you get your Bibles out and turn to Genesis 26. And you know, you've heard this, we've talked about this before, about, you know, he sowed in the land, time of famine and reaped 100-fold. But there's some things here that I want to point out about Isaac. In chapter 26 in Genesis, verse 2, it said this, "And the Lord appeared to him, Isaac, and said, 'Do not go down to the land of Egypt, live in the land which I tell you.'" Now here he is, Isaac's getting this secret information. And in verse 3 it says, "Dwell temporarily in this land, and I will be with you. I will favor you with blessings, for to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." Now Isaac was a wealthy individual. He said, says if you move on down to, let's see, where is that? Move on down to verse 12. It said, "Then Isaac sowed seed in the land and received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings." And then in verse 14 it says this, "He owned flocks, herds, and a great supply of servants, and the Philistines envied him." And it goes on down to 15, and now get this, this is an interesting part. "And now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had closed and filled with earth." So Isaac was using Abraham his father's wells. And look, let's move down to 18. And this is interesting. And it says this, "And And Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the names by which as his father had called them. So what he was doing, he took that water. He said, hey, these guys plugged up my wells. I'm going to unplug them. Okay? And now get this, as we move on down in verse 19, this is well number one. Now Isaac goes out and digs four more wells on his own. In verse 19 it says, now Isaac's servant dug in the valley and found there a well of living spring water. That's well number one. And then there was an argument with that well, so he gave that up. And then well number two. Then his servants dug another well, and they quarreled over that one. So he goes out in verse 22 and digs well number three. And he moved away from there and dug another well. And for that one, they did not quarrel. He named it, I can't pronounce that name, saying, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 25, and they dig another well in verse 25. And verse 32, it says, the same day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug, and saying, we have found water. And that well, they call it, they gave it a name, and it was the well of oath. Basically, that same thing in verse 3, it says, I will perform the oath which I swore to father Abraham your father. They named that well the same thing what the Lord was telling them. But what I'm saying is this. Isaac was using water in the land of famine, when it was a famine. God gave him special inside information on where to dig. If not that, how was he getting these wells? And he unplugged his father's wells to use that water to plant with. He was getting inside information. When you're in Jeremiah, what's happening here is when we dig our wells, this is what happens. It says in Jeremiah, it says, for two evils have my people done me. They have forsaken a fountain of living waters to hew out for themselves wells broken that contain not waters. In other words, when we on our own, with our own ideas, go out without the counsel of God, we dig these wells and they don't have water. We're basically digging dry wells. When you don't get that inside information, you are digging a dry well. And then we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what's wrong. You never asked me to begin with, and I have a dry well. And then you want him to bless it. And it's all wrong. We're going about this all wrong. We need to seek God's counsel on these things and say, Lord, where should I put my well? And this is where he tells you where to dig it, and that's where the water is, and that's where the life is at. Amen? Because a lot of times we just hear, when people talk about the tithe, we always hear that, oh, he sowed in the land of famine, get a hundredfold. We need to read the whole thing and see what's actually going on here. He was drilling wells, and he was actually, I think, using that water for irrigation. That's why he reaped a hundredfold. He was listening to the Lord and got secret information. Amen? Praise the Lord. I've got another example here. And I think we need to change the slide, and I think it's the next slide is about Moses. And I want to go to Exodus chapter 33. And this was very interesting as I studied this. It was extremely interesting. And I want to go to verse 7. And I'm going to read in Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. And I'm reading about Moses. And Moses had a tent. It was called the Congregation of the Tabernacle, or the Tent of Meeting. And in this, I'm going to read here. Now, those scriptures are not up there. The other scriptures are I put up there for a reason. But let's go to Exodus 33:7, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. And it says this, now Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting of God with his own people. And everyone who sought the Lord went out to that temporary tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Now jumping down to verse 9, it said, when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend. Get this, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the door of the tent, and the Lord would talk with Moses That's the glory of God coming into that tent. Amen? And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the tent door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man at his tent door. And get this in 11. I love this, right at what it says here in 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. As a man speaks to his friend, Moses returned to the camp, but his minister Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. So Moses talked to the Lord just like a friend. Like I would talk to you face to face. God is not some foreign thing that he's off in some far off reaches somewhere. We can talk to him face to face just like a friend. And it also says there that the minister Joshua, son of Nun, he left him in the tent. And I believe the reason he left Joshua in the tent was so God could teach Joshua how to lead the people when he came of age. I believe that tent is a place where God instructs us on how to do things, on how to get secret information. You know, it says here, now let's go to some of these verses. You know, it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has a pattern. He doesn't change things. And it says in Hebrews 3:5, it says that Moses, it says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of after. Moses was a foreshadow of what we're supposed to do. And then it goes on in Hebrews 8:5, who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Moses was an example for us. And then if you go on down here, it says in Revelation, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? 2 Corinthians 6:16, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. In Luke 7:21, it said, the kingdom of God is within you. And in Psalm 27:5, it says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. That's what he did to Moses when Moses wanted to see his glory. God put him in a cleft of the rock. That's exactly what this is talking about here. In the time of trouble, God wants you to be in his tabernacle. He wants you to be speaking to him one-on-one as a friend. As a friend, when this economy falls and the world system's going to fall, you better be in that tabernacle speaking to the Lord and getting secret information on what you can do with your finances, because the world system is coming to an end. The whole thing is coming to an end. But we need to look at God and his kingdom and what he's going to tell us. Amen? Let's see here. Let me go on here just a second. I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready for the next slide. And what is that? Okay. I'm wrapping this all up. I'm trying to bring this all around. In Malachi 3:10, it says this, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Sherry got me a book by Norman Robertson. He said this, the phrase windows of heaven actually means floodgates. It is the same word used in Genesis 7:11, where God opened the windows of heaven and flooded the earth with water. In other words, there is no shortage of revelations or answers to our problems. Did you hear that? If you have a situation, a financial situation, or whatever your problem is, there is no shortage of revelation for your problem or your situation. God has all the answers, and he's pouring that out of heaven in an incredible amount, and you have to just sit there and listen to what he's saying, because he's got the answers for you. Amen? In James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And all you have to do is draw nigh to Him, and He will come to you. Just as Peter was saying, any man, that if you knock on his door and open it, he's there. Amen? It is, again, I think we make things more complicated than what it is. And we run around with our problems and run around confessing them and saying, oh, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Well, He's telling you, come to the throne room and get the solutions. Pay your tithes and offerings, and the windows of heaven are open, and I'm pouring down all of this information to you, and you just have to listen to me and hear what I'm saying to you, because I have the answers to what you have. Amen? Praise the Lord. And let's go. Well, I got one more thing in Philippians 4:9, and this is the Good News Bible. It says this, and this is, you know, hey, I'm as guilty on this as anyone. It says here, put into practice what you learned and received from me. Put into practice what you learned and received from me, both from my words and from my actions. And the God who gives us peace will be with you. Amen? A lot of times, we don't put into practice. Chris, you want to have the next slide? And there it is right there. But we need to take what we're learning. It's just not we sit here every Sunday, day in, Sunday in, Sunday out, and we hear these messages and we fail to put into practice what God is telling us. And we come around, we just keep going around with our own problems and these situations. But God is saying, look, apply what you've learned in church. Take what I'm telling you in the throne room and apply it. It works. It's that simple. Amen? Chris, put up the next slide. This is what it looks like. This is what a Christian looks like when they don't meet with God and they're staying in the world system. There is no leaves. There is no fruit. They are barren. God does not want us to look like this. Right? He does not want us to look like this. How in the world are we going to touch people when there's no fruit on our limbs? We can't. It's impossible. You got to start meeting with the Lord. You got to start going to that throne room. Chris, you want to put up the last slide? Can everybody see that? That's a tree with all kinds of fruit on it. It's got leaves. And notice the roots. I believe those roots are connected directly to the kingdom, heaven. And that fruit, you notice there's a variety of fruits on that tree. It's just not one type of fruit. It's got all kinds of things for different other people. Not only for your situation, but it's got fruit for everybody. It's got fruit for all kinds of different situations to minister to people, to feed people. God wants us to look like that, not like the other example. Amen? That's not what we're supposed to look like. But He wants us to look like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it's not complicated, right? It's easy. And today, we're going to do a little bit, change a little bit things around. And I want to... Okay.
Now, what Mike is talking about is having an intimate relationship with the Lord, all right? And you're only going to get inside information with that intimate relationship. You're only going to get inside information with that intimate relationship with the Lord, okay? Now, I want to show you something. You know, when you tithe and everything, that's why we're going to, in just a little bit, confess... Malachi 3:10, I believe, and 2 Corinthians 9:8. But I want to show you something in the Bible. You know, we've been doing this. We've been tithing. Kathy and I have been tithing for, gosh, since we was married 23 years ago. We've been tithing. We've been faithfully tithing. And we've seen the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. But I want to tell you something here, something just the Lord showed me here not too long ago. It's in Genesis 28:22. And I want you to all turn there. Chris, can you put that up on the screen for me? And I think this is an appropriate time to talk about it because I was going to talk about it in my main message. But it says this in Genesis 28:22. It says, and this stone, now this is talking about Jacob here, and I want you to catch this. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And you know, the Lord spoke to me, if you read that, and we're going to go over it in my main message, you know what Jacob did? He tithed off the revelation of the Word of God. Do you get that? Jacob, let me say that again. Jacob tithed off the revelation that he got from God. He just didn't depend upon a job and say, here's my 10%, Lord. He got inside information from God because God explained the blessing that was coming through Abraham and then down to him. And he said, I'm going to give you a tenth of this revelation because this revelation that you gave me, God, is going to increase me to the point that I'll have more than enough. And I'm going to tithe off that revelation. Some of you are sitting out there looking at me like, huh? I just don't get it. God speaks to you. Let me tell you something. When you get the windows of heaven open and you walk under those open windows of heaven and God starts speaking to you like he did Joseph and the animals, and he said, here's what I want you to do, Joseph. And Joseph increased mightily. Remember that? He got all these animals. They were speckled and they were spotted. He tithed off the revelation that God gave him. He tithed off the revelation that God gave him. God spoke to him and gave him inside information on what to do with those animals. When he told Peter, and he said, Peter, cast your net off into the deep side of the lake, and they pulled in so many fish that it started sinking all the boats. It was because he got some inside information where them fish were at. During the day, they go down deep. Because it's hot. And he said, cast your net off into the deep. See, you know what? You know what the problem is? And I hear it in my spirit. The problem is you want someone to do it for you. And you want a Burger King. And you have a Burger King type mentality. Have it your way. And I'll do it my way. And I'll get it done. Because I want it in 3 seconds. And I don't want to have to do anything for it on my own. And I don't want to have to put out any effort at all. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? I don't want to have to put out any effort for this. But you know what? What did we learn last Sunday? We learned about Hebrews 4:16, about going to the throne, about getting the inside information, about hearing from God face to face, talking with Him. I'm going to piggyback on this, on Peter and what Mike is saying here about this inside information and going to this tent of meeting. Today that tent of meeting is inside here. It's on the inside here. And God will talk to you. But you know why? Well, I'll get into my message if I tell you why. That you don't want to listen to God. Why people won't want to listen to God. It's because they built an image. They made an image just like they did in the wilderness, and they made a molten calf. And people have made an image of God in their mind, just like that molten calf. That's their reality of who God is. That's their reality of who God is. And they really don't know God because they don't have an intimate relationship with God. And then they run around saying, I really don't need anything, but they don't understand what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3. He said, you're blind and you're naked and you don't even know it. But you know, Jacob here, Jacob, he's getting revelation and God's speaking to him about what he told Abraham. Same with Joseph. He's getting revelation from the Word of God. Listen to me. We talked about revelation, getting revelation from God's Word, and revelation from God's Word. And don't you sit there and tell me, Pastor, you come pray for me and you do it for me. It's time that the believer stood up and sought God on their own. I'm telling you, you got to seek God on your own. That's what he wants. Amen. And you know what? Naaman the prophet. Look at this. Here's what Mike was saying. You know, I love this. What Naaman the prophet. You know what? You get in trouble when you think on your own. I got in trouble thinking on my own. Because you know what? Of myself, I know nothing. I know nothing. And I have nothing. That's what the Bible says. But with God, I have these things and he gives me the insight. Naaman, in 2 Kings 5:9, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. He heard a word from the prophet because the prophet was spending time with God, and God gave him that word for Naaman. But you know what Naaman said? Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. You know, that's where the problem is, I think, when we get and we think. We think. And it gets us in trouble without God's assistance, without God's direction, without meeting him face to face, and we get in trouble. But you know, we've always tithed off the world system, off a job. I got a job and I tithe. But you know, when God showed me, he said, you know, you need to start tithing off the revelation that I give you to increase you. Because, you know, we read that and we get all excited. He put it up on the board there, Jeremiah 29, what was that, 29:11?
Yeah.
And I have good plans for you, but you know what? We'll get one simple instruction from the Lord and we won't do it. And do you realize he's trying to lay out the plan for you? And then if you just follow that plan, you'll start to increase. And I was reading in John chapter 10 here just recently, and one of the words, I was looking up the Greek meanings of this, and it says, I believe the gateway or the doorway, it says for growth and increase. When you go into it, it's for growth and increase. My shepherd's got a place where I can grow and increase. My shepherd has a place where I can grow and increase. And you know, that throne room is accessible anytime to anyone. You know, if you're sitting here and you're bored, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's unbelief. I want to hear something new and I want to have some good revelation. But if you're sitting here bored, it is unbelief. Boy, let me tell you something. You know, it's time. It's time that God's people started standing up. Amen. Joel, you didn't take that with your wife, did you? Because you're a believer. Amen. You didn't take that, have to take that bad report. Because you're a believer. Amen. You weren't disappointed. No, you were not disappointed. Hallelujah. When we give, we need to be active and not complacent. Active because, you know what? I stand under an open heaven. You stand under an open heaven when you give. And now God is going to speak to you. God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak something to you. Look, if you got plans for the Lord, you need some resources, I'm going to tell you something. You will never get out of debt until you start taking the revelation that God gives you, because an ordinary job that pays $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 a year, whatever it is, isn't going to produce the type of income to get you out of debt. You need the revelation that comes from God. Because if your job would have produced debt-free living, we'd all be out of debt right now, right? But we need some revelation from God. But it only comes through the intimacy. It only comes through intimacy. Now, I'll tell you what I want to take off right now. Because when you spend time with God, he starts talking to you.
Amen.
1 John 1:3 says that our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. And I run around saying that. My fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus. That's where my fellowship is. It's with the Father and with Jesus. See, that's why it says, I believe in Acts 3 or 4, it says that the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin recognized that these men had been with Jesus. That's why they recognized that, because their fellowship was with the Father and with Jesus. And when you get in that intimate relationship and when you start fellowshipping with them, you know what? You'll start tearing down those images that you made in your mind about who God is. And you'll figure it out real quick of what God's really like. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Come on. Now, what happened? Let's Peter, go ahead and pass out the envelopes. I didn't mean to take this over, but whoever needs an envelope, raise your hand. Now, we walk under open heavens. We walk under open heavens.
And the knowledge that has just been, or the revelation that has just been put forth, is something that you will not hear just anywhere. We have been given this for a reason. What God has just bestowed upon you is something that a lot of people would want to know. And I'll tell you what we've been given here today, what God has given you is basically the keys to the kingdom. It's the master key to unlock the kingdom with all the door that opens up all of what God has. Did you hear that? I'm telling you, it is the master key, right, Pastor?
It's the master key.
And we are talking about riches. We're talking about answers. We're talking about everything that you could ever desire. We're talking about impacting the world. We're talking about impacting this community for the kingdom of God, and He's given us the key. I mean, this is something to run and shout about. I'll tell you what, because if you were jump and shout at football, something about football, and you can't run and jump and shout about this, there's something wrong with you, and if you need to come up here and we'll raise you from the dead. Amen? I mean, good grief. I mean, we shout and jump over stupid stuff, but when it comes to this, I mean, we should be jumping and shouting. And like I said, Pastor Mitch and I will pray for you and raise you from the dead, because you're really spiritually dead. And we can raise you back. And you can jump and shout. Because what we got here is something worth more than any gold or silver. People are buying gold and silver today, but I'll tell you what, God has bestowed His wisdom upon us today that is worth more than any of the gold and silver. Anything.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, let me tell you something here.
Praise the Lord.
You know, this is, why did we not see this? I've been praying diligently about not just us, not just Kathy and I, but you and everyone in here about getting out of debt in 2011. How many would like to be out of debt completely? How many would like to have your house paid off and everything else?
Amen.
Your vehicles and everything paid off? I can raise my hand to that.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm not talking about getting money because I want a bunch of money here. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what? If you've got a love for God and you want to do something for the kingdom, let me tell you something. It does take resources to do it.
Amen.
It takes resources. It takes resources to fly the missionary from South America up here. Okay? Airline tickets aren't cheap.
Amen.
They're not cheap. Hotels are not cheap. I don't know if you stay in a hotel lately, but the average price is running about $110 a night. It's not cheap. If you want to stay in a dive, you can go for $69 or negotiate something. But I'm telling you, it's just not cheap. But God wants to... He wants to give us something. And when I prayed for the release of the finances, He didn't take me to and say, okay, well, now you got to go do this and play and see if Ed McMahon will come to your door. He didn't take me there. He said, the answer is in my word. The answer is in my relationship with you. That's where the answer's at. But how come we've been so hard of hearing and so stiff-necked? And I can say I've been hard of hearing and stiff-necked for all these years. It's time. God's saying, hey, how long? How long do you have to be in this situation? I want you to bring you up out of this. And we are going, and God wants to take us to a place where we've never been before.
Amen.
You know what? The world should be looking at us. They should be looking at the Jesus on the inside of us. If we say we're Christians, well, why isn't the Lord, the God of Israel, showing up on the inside of us? And people taking note of that. Where's the greater works? Where's the greater works? Unbelief. Unbelief. I'm going out. You know what? We would rather, let me tell you something. We would rather go and try to figure out how God is going to do something instead of believing God that He'll do it. You know what? When Paul was on that ship in Acts 27, he didn't say, well, you know what? I wonder how God's going to deliver us from this. I wonder if there's going to be a rescue boat come by. I wonder if there's going to be a fish that'll come by and swallow me up. You know what he said? I believe God. I belong to God and I serve God. He didn't speculate. He didn't speculate and say, well, I wonder how he's going to do this. All he said was, I believe God. And you know what? So many people speculate how God's going to do it, but they refuse to believe God. They refuse to believe Him. And they wonder how it's going to happen. Well, I quit wondering, and I just simply said, Lord, I believe You. And when He speaks to me, I run with it. And You're going to speak to me some more good things, Lord. As I give, God's going to speak to me. And He already has. And He has already has to some of you. And when He speaks to you, you know what? If you say, well, I haven't heard God speak to me in a long time, you better go back to the very beginning to where He spoke to you and told you what to do and do it. Did you hear me? You better go back to where He spoke to you about something and say, Lord, I repent. You told me about this. And I need to go back to that and revisit that, what You told me. Hallelujah. See, this is where, you know, Kathy and I, we tithe and we give. And I told you, we've seen a blessing come into our lives as a result of it. But I believe these are the days when God is going to bring increase, where He will speak directly from heaven and pour you out a blessing. And that blessing is the benediction where He speaks to you. See, Jacob, when he saw that ladder, and I'll get into this, but when he saw that ladder, he heard God. He spoke to Him face to face. He said he spoke to the Lord face to face. And God told him all this plan that he had. And then Jacob says, hey, I got a revelation from the Word of God. And now everything that I get from You, Lord, I'm going to give You a tenth. I'm going to tithe on that revelation that You just gave me. Do you think for a minute, see, we've only been getting part of the picture. But God's opening it up now to give us the whole picture of everything that's going on. He's given us the whole picture. These are the days when it says in Daniel chapter 12, he says, in the last days, he says, knowledge shall increase. Well, that's not just earthly knowledge, but it's also the knowledge of the Lord that's increasing. You know, they're saying that technology increases every, I think, 18 months or 16 months now. It doubles. Every 16, 18 months. But do you realize just the beginning of this year, I've seen the increase of the revelation of the Word of God exponentially? Exponentially! Because it says so in the Bible that in the last days knowledge shall increase. And that's what's happening. That's what we're seeing. God is wanting to bring us. What do you think? He's going to come back here and find us in the same situation that we're in? Remember what I told you months ago? I said, there's two places in the Bible where it talks about this. It says that the glory of the Lord shall cover the whole earth. Well, how's that going to happen? Something's got to happen with God's people. Something has got to happen with God's people. and the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the whole earth, like the waters cover, like the waters in the ocean, or something like that. But something's got to happen. Something has got to happen. You think we just sit here Sunday after Sunday and just hope for something? No, God is saying, hey, listen to me. If you come into that secret place, if you come into my throne room, I'll tell you how to get beyond this. You got a desire for me to do something? I've got a desire, Lord. I've got a desire to see people saved and to see people set free. And he gives me the insight on how to do it. The situation is not hopeless, people. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. He's got your answer. And it's not a dollar bill that needs to come down. Listen, it's not a dollar bill that needs to come down. It's something that God wants to speak to you personally. He wants to speak to you personally. You know, we were at a minister's meeting here, I don't know, a few months ago, back in November, I believe, and I heard him say, Hebrews chapter 1 belongs to me. Hebrews chapter 1 belongs to me. Hebrews. And I thought, I got the rest of that. Ministering spirit sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. That's why the angels were ascending and descending upon that ladder in Genesis 28. Because they hearkened to the voice of the word of the... It says they hearken to the voice of the word. See, so when you get in that secret place with God and you actually hear God and you see God and you see what he's doing and you hear what he's saying, see those angels and you start talking about it, those angels hearken to the voice of that word because there's a revelation there. Listen, we go from a logos people. We go from a logos people where it's just the written word to a rhema people, to the revealed word of God, to the revelation. And that's what God's looking for, is a rhema people, not a logos. The logos is just something that I read it, I don't understand it, and I move on, and I wear my WWJD bracelet. Come on! It's true! It's true. Where are the greater works, Lord, that you promised? Where are they? I put on my Jesus pin like Joyce Meyer talks about. Put on my Jesus pin and I have my bumper sticker. But God wants rhema people. That's why he would talk to Moses in the tent of meeting. Do you think anyone, I'll tell you what, we could take someone with the highest IQ, the highest IQ, and I challenge them to lead 1.5 million or 2 million people out of the wilderness without going to the tent of meeting or the tent of the congregation where the Lord dwelt. I challenge them. I'll challenge anyone. I challenge you. Who would like to lead a couple million people out in the wilderness, out through a 14-day journey without the direction from God? Who do you think could do that? No one. No one. Come on. God wants us to meet with him. Face to face. He wants us to fellowship with him. My fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. That's what the Word says in 1 John 1:3. My fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. You know, and I just get so excited when I think about that. I get so excited. And you know what? We come to church and we sit here. It's like, Pastor, I'm not saying everyone, Pastor, got these problems. I don't know what to do. But, you know, we all grow and we all learn, right? We all grow and we learn. We all grow and we learn. And God's taken us to a greater place. A greater place in our relationship. Listen, if you don't want to live like hell, Let me tell you something. If you don't want to live like hell, then start getting in the Word of God and start fellowshipping with the Father and the Son. And He'll show you how to live the abundant life. He'll show you how to live the abundant life. This is not just an exercise to make us feel good every Sunday. This is not an exercise to make us feel good or to ease a dirty conscience or whatever it is. This is to get some divine inspiration that we all as believers can do it. You're believers. You are believers and you can do this and you can hear from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can hear from God. I had to go back and I had to look. Let me see, do I have an image that's like this molten calf that I have a perception of who God is? That's not my father. That calf is not my father. But they thought that's who it was. And that was their reality. And you know, their reality kept them out of the promised land. That reality kept them out. And it's going to keep you out from the blessings of God if your image is something other than what the Bible says God is. It'll keep you out of the promised land. You can look. 1 Corinthians 10, it said, those things were written for an example to us. So we could learn from that. So we could learn from it. And that calf kept them people out of the promised land, and it'll keep a majority of the people out because they got a wrong image or a wrong perception of God. Well, I don't believe God can do that. But it says, without God, all things are possible. So He can take you there.
I'm excited. Because this information, this knowledge, what God has bestowed upon us, like I said, is invaluable. Invaluable. You cannot put a price on it, what we have just been, what God has just spoken to us. I mean, it's invaluable. I mean, this not only answers your financial needs, it answers your all kinds of needs, probably in your family, anything, jobs, whatever you have a need for, this is the answer to it all. Amen. But I'm excited. I'll tell you what, this year of 2011 is going to be different than any other year we've experienced. This is going to be a year that is going to be beyond our imagination, what we could even begin to imagine. You know, God, this week I was thinking about certain things, and God, there was something I was working on, and I was expecting something, and I thought it'd be nice to get this, and you know what? It was almost tripled. What God provided in this particular financial thing that I was believing for, and He tripled it. And I was like going, oh my gosh, my imagination is too little. I need to keep renewing my mind to this Word and get His, the way He thinks and sees. I'm not thinking right. I'm not seeing what He's seeing. And He more than almost tripled what I was believing for. And I go, praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, this week, I prayed for favor with the EPA. I was working with a client. And you know, it's like parting the Red Sea when you get favor with the government. And I got favor for that applicant with EPA. I prayed for favor for that applicant, that they would have favor with the Environmental Protection Agency, and they got it because I sought the Lord in His throne room and I asked for favor and they gave it to Him. That's what we're supposed to do. That's uncommon with the federal government. Anyone knows that? That's uncommon. That's like parting, like I said, the Red Sea. But praise the Lord. Now, Pastor Mitch, what did you wanted to say a confession or what did
you? Yeah, I want to say a confession that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9:8. Chris, can you put that up on the board? 2 Corinthians 9:8. Man, I was saying this all week, and I like that what Mark told me. He called me earlier this week, and he said, Pastor, I've been walking under an open heaven. I said, yes, you are. Yes, you are, because you're a giver, and you walk under an open heaven. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. So let's just confess that. God is able to make all grace abound toward me.
Amen. He's able to make all grace abound toward me.
Now, I want to stop right there because that grace, a lot of people think is just unmerited favor. Don't limit it to that. Paul said in 15:10, I believe it was, 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, it's the grace of God that works in me. He said, I labor, but it's really not me. It's the grace of God that does it. So it's a divine enablement to do something. It's a divine enablement to do something. Let me tell you, I need divine enablement to do things. Even if it's just putting up a shelf or something. I need divine enablement. Kathy knows that. Right, Christina? I need divine enablement. Isn't that right, Christine? I need divine enablement. She knows. So, and it's not just sometimes. He says it's always. Say it's always.
Always.
Always. Having all sufficiency in all things. That I may abound to every good work. Yeah. See, that's the believer. That's a picture of the believer.
Amen.
That's a picture of the believer. That's you. That is you. If you're a believer, that's you. That you have all grace and all sufficiency in all things. That you can abound to every good work. That's you as a believer. That's what God's saying about you. That's what God's saying about you. So that's me. I have all grace. I have all grace. Listen to me. Let me tell you something here. In Hebrews 5:14, do you know we exercise our taste, touch, smell, and we exercise those natural senses? But I'm telling you how to exercise the spiritual here. This is exercising. We have to exercise, it says we have to exercise our senses to discern between good and evil. You will never be able to discern until you start exercising. And that's one of the things the Lord dealt with me about this week. He said, you've taught the church how to get revelation. Now you need to teach them how to exercise it. How to exercise that revelation they've been giving. You know, we're going to get back on justice and we're going to get back on these things, but I think this is important right here. I think sometimes we forget some of these things that we need to do. We have to exercise. This is bodily exercise profit little, but you know what? My spirit, when we were born again, our spirit was made alive unto God. And it needs to be trained. It needs to be trained. I learned that as a new Christian, how to train my spirit. And I learned it from Kenneth Hagin, how to train my spirit. And I would just sit there and I'd read about it. I'd meditate on the word. I'd speak the word and everything, and I'd train it. But you know what? It's time that we exercise, and we exercise in church. We exercise these things in church. So I'm telling you how to exercise. So when I say this, I'm exercising. When you say this, you're exercising. Exercise, come on. We just need to exercise. Going to the gym isn't all that bad. It really isn't. We need to exercise. So all grace is able, and God is able to make all grace abound toward me. See, and I say that. You take that and you say that during the week. God is able to make all grace abound toward me. When you run into a situation, God is able to make all grace abound toward me. You got a business decision to make? God is able to make all grace abound toward me. You got some major things you got to get repaired or whatever and you need wisdom on it? God is able to make all grace abound toward me. That I will always have all sufficiency in all things. You know what? When you come up short, that's because you've lost your focus. And you're saying, you know what? God, I need an open heaven. Christians will pray for an open heaven, but it's already there. It's already there. I already walk under it. So why are you praying for it? Right? That's what it says in Malachi 3. That he opens up the windows of heaven when we give. Isn't that right? So when I give, I got this open heaven. I don't need to pray for it. It's there. All I have to do is listen for that benediction. Because it says I'll pour out a blessing, which means benediction. And I'm listening for that benediction, for that word that God's going to speak to me. Or that revelation he's going to give to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, next, let's go to Malachi 3:10. There it is. And he says, prove me and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I got a blessing. I got a benediction from the Lord. I heard from the Lord. And you know, this morning it was so sweet. I was sitting studying. And the Lord said, you know what? I sure had it really increase. You start tithing off the revelation of the word that I give you. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. People think, you know what? He's crazy. He thinks that God speaks to him. Yeah, he does. He does speak to me. Because my fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. And he's no respecter of persons. If you're born again, he'll speak to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I looked in my rearview mirror this morning and only mercy and goodness was following me. Because that's what it says in Psalm 23. It says, mercy and goodness shall follow you all the days of your life. And I looked in my rearview mirror and there was mercy and goodness. I was like, yes, I got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. You just got to start practicing some of these things when you get home after you leave church here today. You just got to start practicing some of these things and exercising your senses. Exercise God. Look at this. You talk to him just like you talk to anyone else. I said, Father, you know, this is really cool. This is really cool. And he just started. I'm going to show you in a little bit in Genesis 28. There's a whole thing in there in just a few verses. And I'm like, looking at this, and the Lord keeps talking to me about it. And about our intimacy with him. He said, this is how you show the people to be intimate with me. We're going to take up the tithing offering in just a little bit. Just a little bit here. I want to show you something. The benefits of being born again. Look, Genesis 28:11. Chris, can you put that up on the big board for me? I want to show you something. I thought this was really cool. Let me show you something. So you can develop your intimacy with the Lord. It says this. And he lighted upon a certain place. And this is talking about Jacob. Okay? And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, why would anyone take a stone and lay on a stone? You know what? I have to have a certain pillow when I sleep on every night because I want it comfortable. But this guy took some stones. And you know why he did that? And here's what I got out of that. Because Jesus is the chief cornerstone, he set his mind upon the Lord. And when I go to bed at night, and this is how I practically apply it, I say, Jesus, I'm looking unto you. It says in Hebrews 12:2 that he's the author and finisher of my faith. I'm setting my mind on you, Lord, and I'm setting my heart upon you. Ah, because Jesus, you are the author and finisher of my faith. Because Jesus, you are the one that I fellowship with. Because my fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So then I thought, wow, he laid his head upon a stone. And so now if we go on to the next verse, Chris, 12's fine. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth. Oh, why did it say that? Lord, you said it was set upon the earth. Man was made from the dust of the ground. That's why I set it upon the earth. This ladder was meant, and this fellowship was meant for man. That was the mystery. That was the mystery that's been hid from the ages, that God would indwell the believer. And now, you know, if you go on to read, here in 12 it says, and behold the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Aha. Hebrews chapter 1 belongs to me. Hebrews chapter 1 belongs to me. Well, do you realize that it says in Hebrews 1:14 that ministering spirits go forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. See, when you get into that place, that intimacy with the Lord, and I'm talking to you about how to develop this intimacy. See, I put my head upon and my mind is settled upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And my heart is fixed. And I'm fixed upon Him. And I see these angels ascending and descending. And later on, if you read in here, and we're going to read on in here so you get a good understanding of this. It says in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. What did He stood above? The ladder. Okay? And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. He spoke face to face with the Lord in verse 13. The guy spoke face to face. There was an open heaven there, and he spoke face to face with him. Okay? And then in verse 14, and he goes on in verse, you don't have to put up 14 through 17. He says, he talks about his seed and the promise, basically, that he gave to Abraham. Now, this ladder begins on the earth and extends into heaven. And Jacob sees the ladder, or these angels of God, ascending and descending upon it. And the top of this ladder, he saw the Lord, and he talked face to face with him. When Jacob awoke the next morning, and this is the first time you'll hear this mentioned, he said, this is the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. That's what he said. And then, how does this apply to us? Well, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now God is indwelling the believer, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the house of God is the gateway of heaven, and we are the temple or the house of God. The angels are seen ascending and descending upon this house, and conversation with the Lord is face to face. Did you get that? Did you get that? Now, Hebrews chapter 1 belongs to me. Hebrews chapter 1 belongs to me. Hebrews chapter 1 belongs to me. Hebrews 1:14. Now, when I have that relationship with the Lord, I hear what the Lord is saying. I hear that word. And this is why I believe Jesus was so successful. And I can prove this in Hebrews 4:14. And all through the book of Hebrews, I can prove this. But that word, this is where the angels minister to the heirs of salvation, is when you speak that word in agreement with God's word. When you speak the word in agreement with God. But I'm going to tell you, you can be like a parrot and you can speak it all you want, but if you have no revelation of it, nothing's going to happen. If you're logos and no rhema, it's not going to happen. If you're just all logos, it's not going to happen. If you're all logos, it's not going to happen, just the written word. But if it's rhema, it comes alive to you, and God speaks it and ministers it to your heart, and you get a revelation of it, that's where they hearken to the voice of the word. That's where they hearken to the voice of the word. Boy, this is something here that is there. Here's where you get your answers. I'm going to tell you something. Here's where you see results. Jesus is the high priest of my confession. That's what it says that three times in Hebrews. So it is important what I say. It's important what you say. It's important what you believe. It's important what you believe. Come on, if you need some answers for whatever it is, here you can go. And then, I like this. Jesus, or he said in Genesis 28:22, and this stone which I set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You know, I can produce a tenth from my job, but I'll tell you what. The big increase comes when I can produce a tenth from the revelation of the Word of God. Because God, and Kathy, she did something this week, and I thought this was really interesting about you writing down. She said, the Lord told me to get a pad of paper and a pencil. And she's wrote down for the whole year of what she, or 12 months, what the Lord asked you, what would you like to see in this 12 months? So she wrote it all down. And do you know that he was starting to lay down the plans that he has for us? Write the vision or write the revelation and make it plain so those that see it can run with it. See, and she started writing it down step by step. And see, this is where I think a lot of people miss it. We get all excited when we hear, Isaac sowed in the land of famine and received a hundredfold return. But we go home and we don't know how to use it. We go home and we don't know how to use it because we don't have revelation of it. The guy must have put up an irrigation system. He had to do something. God told him where to dig that well. Do you know how hard it would be to dig a well with a shovel? How many would want to dig a dry well with a shovel? Not me. I don't even want to dig a well that got water in it with a shovel. You know how long that would take and how hard that would be? Even if you were down 10 feet, do you know what it would be to dig with a shovel? I mean, what if the water was down 50 feet or 20 feet? How many days would we be out there trying to dig? But I just need revelation from God. And you see, that's why it says in Hebrews 3 they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. See, because they didn't go to the place where God wanted them to go to listen to them. They couldn't enter into the rest. And you see, when you can go to this place and you can have the intimacy, you can have a rest. And it makes things so much easier. So God's starting to put things together and he's starting to show you. Now take and run with these things that he shows you. If it's just one thing, take and run with it and say, you know what, Lord, I believe that you gave me this. And go with it. Don't sit here week after week after week and just saying, well, I wonder how this is going to happen. I wonder how God's going to do this. Is he going to bring a car or is he going to bring a truck to do it? Or is he going to bring, maybe a plane will come by. How's he going to do this, I wonder? Just believe that he will. And it makes it so much easier. Now, 1 John 1:3 says this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And in verse 4 it says this, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. How many got full joy? How many got full joy? If your fellowship is with the Father and the Son, you're going to have the fullness of joy. You're going to have full joy. He said that your joy may be full. That's why no one's really happy anymore, because they're not fellowshipping with the Father and the Son. My true happiness comes from the fellowship that I have with my Father and with the Son. Now, let me put this all together for you. Developing intimacy. You need to take the revelation that God gives you from the Word of God. And you need to exercise yourself. Exercise. You know, I understand now why the gates of hell, when Jesus told Peter, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Well, he said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, because he was asking Peter, who do men say I am? And Peter said, well, you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. You know? And then he said, well, upon this rock, and he was, I believe, referring to the rock, that rock being not Peter, but the revelation of God's word. And he said, the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Do you know what? The gates of hell can't prevail against your finance if you have the revelation. So you take the revelation that God gives you and you start exercising your senses, like it says in Hebrews 5:14. So you start exercising. It says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. By exercising or practicing using one's discernment or understanding of the Word of God. See, this is the revelation that God gave me, and now the gates of hell won't prevail against it. You know, and I believe that the body of Christ has not been taught that there's really two gates. One is the gate of hell and one's the gate of heaven. And the gate of hell spews out all kinds of stuff and they accept it as normal. And it's not normal. It's not normal. So that revelation protection. Now, I want to go here to Exodus 32:8, and I'm going to go through this quickly. It says in Exodus 32:8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. This is something I believe that y'all really need to take a hard look at. I remember back in April when the Lord really dealt with me about unbelief in the body of Christ. Unbelief in the body of Christ back in October. Now, that molten calf, it says, they have made them a molten calf. Now, why did they do that? Because that image represented their reality. That image represented their reality of who God was. And I'm going to tell you, it kept them out of the promised land. It kept them out of the promised land. Because that was their image of who they thought God really was. Man, we didn't get to worship today. But this is worship. This is worship. And you can worship on any time you want to. But this is worship. Lord, I worship your word. I worship your word. Now, if you don't have a revelation of the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you how powerful this is. In John chapter 6, I believe it's in 68 and 69. Yeah, it's in John 6, 68 and 69. Those people's understanding of who Jesus really was, when he said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have eternal life. And they were like, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And they all ran off, and it was like, it said they no longer walked with Jesus. You know why? Because they didn't have a revelation. They had an image of God of what they thought he looked like, and they left him. And they went back to their own image of what they thought God was and is. That's what they did. They ran off and said they no longer walked with Jesus because they had this wrong image. And I'm going to tell you what, we were created by God the Father. We were created in his likeness and image. And that means, if you look that up, that means that we were created to function just like him. We have creative minds. And even in the New Testament, it says, gird up the loins of your mind, which is the creative part of your mind. And they're looking at, our minds formulate what God looks like and what he's like. If we do not get in the Word of God, if we don't spend time with him, we will come up with an image that'll be unbiblical. And we really don't know who God is. But see, my God, my image is with him, nothing is impossible. That's my image. And I see him. I see him. You know why Moses, it was Moses, I believe. It was in either Exodus 6 or Numbers 6. He said, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me by the Lord God, but he said, you're going to know me by Jehovah. And Mike just showed, he'd go and attend a meeting. That's why he knew him as Jehovah. He knew God in a totally different way than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. Because God said, you're going to know me by Jehovah. And I was like, oh. He went into that tent of meeting and he met with the Lord where the glory of the Lord was at. See, this was a common occurrence for the early church to have the supernatural working. It was a very common occurrence. It was a common occurrence. Those people didn't freak out. You'll never find anywhere in the Bible where they're freaking out and said, hey, I just saw an angel. Come over here and let's take a look at this. Or did you see so-and-so? Did you see him get healed? Did you see their leg grow out? They weren't freaking like that because it was a common occurrence with them. And it should be the norm in a group of believers. It should be the norm with a group of believers. It should be the norm with a group of believers. You know what? When you were born again, let me just take you back a little bit. When you were born again, it says the Bible, you were translated into the kingdom of his dear son in Colossians chapter 1, I believe. You were translated into the kingdom. In other words, we have a different way of living. And then in Ephesians 2:6, it says that we were seated in heavenly places. That's where I'm at now. That's where I'm at now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we hear from God. You hear from God. You hear from God. You hear from God. This is why I believe the church at Laodicea said, you know what? I have need of nothing. God said, you're neither cold nor hot. He goes, because of that, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You're complacent, and you don't know that you're naked and you're blind. Back when we were back in October, back in Branson, the Lord spoke to me. He said, my people are running around naked. You know why they run? You know why people run around naked? And because they don't know that they have the cloak of righteousness on them, or the robe of righteousness, is because they have a wrong image of God. And they don't get a revelation of forgiveness. This is why they have a hard time coming into the presence of the Lord, because there's shame and guilt. Because they don't have a revelation of the forgiveness of God. Wow. That's a lot of stuff this morning, wasn't there? A lot of stuff this morning. A lot of stuff to chew on. But strong meat belongeth them that are full of age, who've exercised their senses. So we're going to start exercising our senses, so you don't choke on the meat. But you know what? You got to get it sometime. It's got to be introduced sometime. Jesus is coming back soon. And he's looking for a church, a body of believers. Will I find faith when I come back to the earth? Is what he said in Luke. Will I find faith on the earth? What were you going to say, dear? Come here. What were you going to say? Jesus is coming quickly. And you know what? This is a process of growth. You hear me? It's a process of growth. It's a process of spending time with the Lord. That's what it is. So, you know what? Listen, don't get under condemnation. If you think that, well, I had this calf and it was totally the wrong image of God, and I've ran around with it all these years and I've carried it in my back pocket. I even put it in my front pocket at times. I carried it in my shirt pocket. But I'm going to tell you what. God is giving us this for a purpose, to bring us up and saying, you know what? I got something better here for you. I want to fellowship with you. Yeah. So don't run around here and what am I going to do? No, don't do that. All right? Amen?
You know, 23 years ago, the Lord, Mitch was praying, because we were living on, about 10,000-12,000 a year? And he was the only one working. And so he's like, Lord, how can we get more money? How can we do this? And the Lord simply spoke to him, read my word. That's all he said. That was 23 years ago. Now, it's taken 23 years. God wants you to get it now. This is a privilege and an honor that God is giving us the ability, giving you the ability to learn something quicker than what we did. And I praise God, and I think that, you know, I think we should at least do one song to worship God and thank him for what he's done and what he's given you. I want you to leave here rejoicing. Amen. You have a lot to rejoice about. Praise God. Praise God.
Mike, did you have something to say?
I got one more bit of information for those people that want to pay off their house. One more bit more of revelation here. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And it says this, and this is the message of promise which we have heard from him, and are now reporting to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. No, not in any way. You know, Albert Einstein theorized that as you approach light, you go into eternity. It's called time dilation. And when you go into eternity, there's no such thing as time, right? God is light. And as you approach the God of light, your time stops. That means your 30-year mortgage becomes payable this year. Did you hear what I said? Your 30-year mortgage becomes payable this year because there's no such thing as time with God or space. So we have just now taken a 30-year mortgage and paid it off this year. Amen? You take that and dwell on that and meditate on that, and God, you go to the throne and God will pay your mortgage off. Hallelujah.
He'll show you how to obtain wealth.
Exactly.
And I'm not talking about just for our own benefit. That's not what we're getting at. We're not, you know, gotta get money. This is for, you know what? It's for kingdom resources.
Exactly.
Okay? Because God wants to see his people prosper. He don't want to see them struggle. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
So, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So there's an answer. Go ahead, Peter. Now, this week, you know, you all give and everything. I'm not going to let you raise hands or anything. But, you know, you give and you say, Lord, you know what? I'm a giver. I give. I have all sufficiency. I have all grace and all sufficiency in all things. You've given it to me, Lord. And, Lord, I walk under an open heaven, and I'm waiting for you to speak to me. And, Lord, when I lay my head on my pillow tonight, Lord, first thing I think about is Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. My mind is fixed on you and my heart is fixed on you, Lord, just like Jacob did. And he saw the Lord standing there and the gateway to heaven opened up. I love that.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to tell you what, I'm telling you a shortcut how to make the use of 24 hours.
Amen.
Because it says in Psalm 1 that we're to meditate on the word day and night. So when I lay my head down on my pillow, I'm like, Lord, I can meditate on your word and you can come to me and speak to me. And I'll tell you what, this was back when we went to the Southwest Believers Convention back in 99. I had a dream and Jesus came to me in that dream and taught me 1 John chapter 4. And he taught me about fear and how to get rid of fear. And I thought, knowing and believing the love that God has for me. I'll never forget what he spoke to me. He said, knowing and believing the love that I have for you will cast out all fear. And I thought, oh, yes. Now all I have to do is just know how much God loves me and how much, and believe it. Knowing and believing the love that God has for me and cast out all fear. I'm going to tell you, that's what happens. He talks to us. He talks to us. See, I think we even got a better thing going because Adam, it said he walked with Adam in the garden. But I think we got a better deal going because now he's on the inside of me.
Exactly.
He's on the inside of the believer.
Hallelujah.
And he's walking with me and talking with me. Wow. 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 Okay, you got it? Mike, give it to Mike. He can pray.
Thank you, Father. We just praise you, Lord. We just thank you today for the revelation and the wisdom and the knowledge that you've bestowed upon us this day. We are so grateful, Lord, so grateful for this insight, so grateful for the revelation of your word and what was just spoken today, because we know this is going to take us where you want us to go in these last days. We're not going to be in this world system. We're not going to be looking at our circumstances. We're not going to be doing all these things that the world is doing. But we are believers.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. We are believers. And we're going to do what the Word says. And we're going to do what everything you want us to say as we go to your throne and get answers and get all these things. We are then going to do it. Faith with works. That's what we're going to do. Hook our faith and then hook works with it. And we thank you, Lord, for it. And we thank you, Lord, we are all tithers and we're all givers. And we thank you, Lord, for it. And we know we are operating under open heaven. Thank you, Lord. Bless the people today, and we just ask that you bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.